Our Father, we just thank you for your word and that it's true. We thank you that you've spoken to us through your word. And we thank you for your Son, whom it reveals to us. Thank you that you've spoken to us through him and shown us what you're like and what your love for us is. Thank you that you did for us through him what we couldn't do for ourselves. And we pray that we would just worship him even now, and that you would do your work to change us even now and make us more like him as we look at your word together. We pray that you'd give us insight and give us faith, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The text on which the teaching is based is Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. It's a continuation of what we looked at this morning. And just to keep everything all together, I'm going to go ahead and read what we read this morning and then just continue through. So I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 2 and read the first 7 verses and then just keep on going through verse 20. And we'll focus tonight on that last section. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room available for them, no guest room available for them. In that same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth, and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. This is God's word. What I want to do tonight is look at 4 perspectives on the birth of Jesus. Four perspectives on Jesus' birth. And the first perspective I want to look at is the shepherd's perspective. The shepherds were having a normal night at work. I don't know if any of you have worked the third shift. The shepherds were working the third shift. And it was a quiet shift, and they liked that. And it was just a normal night at work, and they were out in the fields at night with their flocks, and they had a startling interruption. An angel appeared to them. And as I've been saying the past few weeks, even though this is the Bible that we're reading, there aren't a lot of angels that show up and talk to people, even in the Bible. So this is unusual. And an angel came and broke into their workday, their work night, and gave them an amazing message. And here was the message. A baby has just been born, and this baby is a Savior. This Savior was sent from God. He's the Messiah, who you've been waiting for, and he's the Lord. Incredible message. I'm sure they didn't quite understand everything they heard, but they were excited and in awe, terrified, because the angel has to say, don't be afraid. Angels are always having to tell people, don't be afraid, because if you saw an angel, you'd be afraid too. And so the angel gives them this wonderful message, and he says to them, this baby was born for you. Now, of course, this baby was born for the whole world. It says that peace on earth, and it says good news for all the people, right? So this baby is for everybody. But the first people that got the announcement were the shepherds. And they heard this, and they thought, this baby is born for us? The first announcement goes to the shepherds. And I mentioned this morning, too. If a president of a country goes to visit another country, like, who does he go see? The president of that country, or the celebrities in that country, or the very important people in that country, the athletes and the musicians, and, you know, like the famous musicians. And that's who I would go see if I were the president. Presidents don't just go to see regular people. And if a president is about to go visit a country and he sends his ambassador ahead of him, or is it his, you know, press corps or whoever, to, like, to announce his way, who are they going to go talk to? You know, the very most famous cable news anchors. But in this case, when God showed up on our planet, the people that got the announcement first were the shepherds. And if you read things outside of the Bible that were written at the same time period and in this near the same place about shepherds, things that were written about shepherds, shepherds didn't have such a great reputation. They were thought of as dishonest and smelly, and they had bad manners, and they were rough, and they were kind of the lowest rung in society. In a Jewish society, because of their contact with animals, they couldn't worship in the temple. They were ceremonially unclean. And so these were not the people that were honored in their society, but this is who gets the announcement. And why do you think it was them? Well, maybe it's the people who are on the edges who are more ready to accept a Savior, right? If it's a president coming, who wants to accept a president? Well, very important people. But if it's a Savior who's coming, well, who needs a Savior? People who need a Savior. People who know that they need a Savior. And the rich and famous aren't always ready for that, are they? But humble people, people on the edges, are ready to say, yeah, I don't have it all made. I'm a sinner before God. I don't deserve His mercy and His grace. I need a Savior. And so when God sends His messenger, He sends the messenger first to the shepherds. And then there's this, after this angel appears and gives them this amazing announcement, there's a whole angel choir that appears in the sky. And it must have been remarkable, like the most amazing fireworks show you've ever seen. In the sky, angels singing and singing glory to God, peace on earth. And the shepherds must have just looked up and just been blown away. And so they talk to each other. What do we do? Well, let's go see what the angel told us about. And they go into the town and look around, and finally they find the baby, and it's just as the angel had said. And then they have to go back to work, right? And I don't know, like, if you guys are looking forward to that. Like, do you get a couple days off, like this week? And that day after Christmas when you go back to work, it's like even worse than a Monday, right? It's kind of miserable to have to go back to work after a holiday. But the shepherds, they went and they saw the baby, and then it was back to work. It says they had to return because they still got sheep in the fields, right? They need to go back and take care of the sheep. They don't want the sheep to run away. They've got work to do. But it was kind of like life is normal. They have to go back to work, but it wasn't life as normal because the shepherds were changed. They were changed men. They had joyful hearts. They were praising God and glorifying God, and they were telling everybody they could about what they had seen. An angel talked to us and told us we'd find this, and we actually found it. It's a Savior. He's come for us. They're telling everybody, and they're worshiping God, praising God with joyful hearts. They were never the same again. Second perspective I want to look at is Mary's perspective. And you can imagine Mary had just given birth to a baby. And I've never given birth to a baby, so I don't know exactly what it's like. But I've been in the car when it happened. And I have to mention that every Christmas Eve. And there's, when you give birth to a baby, there's pain involved. And there's exhaustion. But there's also the joy of the new life that's come. And so there's all these mixed emotions that Mary is experiencing as she's holding her baby and thinking about this amazing blessing. Any baby's a blessing, right? And not too long before, she'd made this long journey from her hometown, Nazareth in Galilee. She had to travel down to Bethlehem with her fiancé for the census. So she's especially tired. Long journey, then gave birth. And she's in a strange place. She probably doesn't have any family near. And the only place they could find was the barn. And she's there. She doesn't have family to take care of her after she's had this child. And there are animals maybe around. Very unusual. But it's sort of this quiet, peaceful scene. Earthy. Childbirth. Manger. But kind of quiet. And then she's thinking about it and she remembers this is not an ordinary baby. She's looking back and thinking about all that had happened in the months leading up to this. The daddy isn't Joseph. Unusual. The daddy isn't a man. The daddy is the Holy Spirit of God. The angel had come and told her this would happen before it happened, and everything came true just as the angel said. And the angel also said that this baby would reign on David's throne forever. You can just imagine her holding this child and looking into this little baby's screaming face. Even though away in the manger says, no crying he makes, he cried. And looking into the baby's screaming face and saying, this baby will reign on David's throne forever. Just imagining these things. So she's contemplating and she's rocking her baby and she lays him in the manger to sleep. And knock, knock, knock on the door. Another startling interruption. All these shepherds run into the room. Now, when people in our church have babies, like, I don't go that same day to visit them because people like a little quiet. And here it is, the same day. And room full of shepherds. Noisy, smelly shepherds. And they're talking to each other and saying, it's just like he said, it's just like he said. Who said? You're not going to believe this. The angel. The angel told us we'd find this baby like this, wrapped up in these cloths, lying in this manger. The angel also said, it's the Savior of the world. Big conversation, big hubbub, you know. And then eventually the shepherds leave. They've got to go back to work. The quiet returns. And Mary, it says, treasures all these things in her heart. She remembers these things. And I bet years later, she told Luke, the guy who wrote this down, everything that she remembered. Now, the next perspective I want to look at is God's perspective. What was God's perspective that first Christmas? From way back in the beginning, God wanted to live with his people. He wanted to show his people his love. So he made everything, made the whole universe, and he made us as his special creation. But the people that he loved rebelled against him. We wanted to live our own way without him. We said to God, mind your own business. We got this. We'll decide what's right and wrong for us. That's what we said to God. And God essentially said back to us, okay, try it your way and see how that works. And we did. We tried it our way. And when we tried to live without him, everything was broken. Everything broke. Everything was messed up. Our relationship with God was broken. Our relationships between people with each other, including the marriage relationship, but all human relationships were broken and strained. Creation itself was messed up. Everything was broken. But God wouldn't give up. He had a plan to win his people back, a plan to heal our broken hearts and to heal his broken world and to live with us. So this was it. This first Christmas, God sent his son to the world to live with us and to show us his love. Heaven broke through. Our sin was so great, it would cost Jesus everything to reunite us with God. He'd have to give his life. He'd have to die for us. But Jesus would do it willingly, and then he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and everybody who believe in him can become his children, can become God's children. And one day, Jesus, the Son of God, will return to us, and he'll live with us forever. Everybody who trusts in him will live with us forever. So what was God's perspective that first Christmas? His heart was filled with love as he gave his present to the world. He gave himself, he gave his son, his gift of grace to his lost people. And I don't know about you, I really don't feel like I'm getting into the Christmas spirit until I start wrapping the presents. But you know, after you've gotten a few presents and you start wrapping them and you're ready to go, don't you then feel like it's really Christmassy? For some of you, I know that was like this afternoon. You started. And for some of you who haven't done it yet, it's not too late. Cumberland Farms has some great presents. But when you wrap your presents, you know, and you give your gift to the people you love, there's that feeling that's just unbeatable, right? And that was God, you know, times a gazillion. He was filled with love to give his beautiful present, the gift of himself, the gift of his son to the world. So now let's talk about the last perspective, and that's our perspective here, your perspective here. And there are a lot of different perspectives represented here in this room this Christmas. Some of you are incredibly busy with work and family and preparations. And you know that Christmas is all about Jesus, but it's hard to find time to think about that. Can I get a witness? Amen. Yeah, we know it's about Jesus, but we're just so strapped and busy, right? But some of us, on the other hand, some of you are in a time of life where maybe it's too quiet, and the excitement of having a lot of people around is now mostly a memory, and you wish there was more excitement and hubbub, but you kind of are in a place right now where you're waiting, and you wonder whether God cares. Some of you are weighed down by big problems or a big problem. Maybe it's a financial problem, not enough money. Maybe it's a strained relationship. Maybe it's failing health or something else. Maybe it's somebody that you care about that has a big problem, and you're walking through that with them. And when you hear this message about peace on earth, goodwill towards men, you're like, yeah, that sounds really good. I could use some of that peace on earth right about now, right? And some of you love Christmas because it reminds you of God's gift of his son to you. But you know that's true, but still you long to feel closer to him, don't you? And regardless of your perspective tonight, the true story of Christmas is good news. That's what the angel said, good news. I bring you good news of great joy. Christmas is proof that God loves you. Because of Emmanuel, because of Jesus, his name means God with us, you can be united to God, both now and forever. Jesus promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. If you've put your faith in him, he says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm here through thick and thin. I'm here with you right now. I'm never going to leave you. And you can know that he's coming back and he's going to live with his people forever. So follow the example of Mary and the shepherds tonight. Receive the gift of God's Son by faith. And maybe there's some here tonight who have never said, I trust in the Son of God, Jesus, to be close to God for the salvation of my sins, for forgiveness of sins and life forever. Some of you have never received him by faith, and I just want to encourage you, just believe it and trust yourself to it. Be all in with Jesus. Don't count on anything else but him. And then for everyone else and all of us, let's let him transform our lives. Like the lives of the shepherds were transformed, let's let him transform our lives into worship and joy, even when we've got to go back to work. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word, and we thank you for the gift of your Son. And we pray that we would trust in him and be changed to be like him. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.